The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, don't say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Don't be afraid of them, for I'm with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord. You may like mingling at receptions, you may hate it. I don't know. But just for a minute, let's imagine ourselves at a reception, at a cocktail party of some sort. Other people there, so you're mingling. You meet someone that you don't know well, and you are making small talk. Again, some of you love this, some of you don't. You're making small talk. The other person asks you about your life. Where have you lived? What was it like for you growing up? What did you like doing as a young person? Where did you go to school? What did you learn? What kind of work do you do? What are your family and friends like? What do you enjoy doing in your free time? And so, in this small talk, in this back and forth, we tell some version of our own story. And often, when we tell that story, we tell it as if our lives are the result of a series of choices we've made, or decisions we've taken, or paths we followed. Now, I wonder how those stories would change if we looked back on our lives as a long series of our responses to an experience of God calling us. So, what does your life look like when you reimagine it in those terms? Responding to God's call to family life or to friendship. Responding to God's call to begin discovering what your gifts are and how you might use them. Responding to God's call to a life of delight and pleasure and beauty. Responding to God's call to a life of singleness or to a life of marriage. To raising children, if that's what you're called to do. Or to excellence in the workplace, if your career is your focus. Responding to God's call to live here for now rather than there. Now, I don't mean that you haven't made any decisions or any choices in life. Of course you have. But what if the way we gather up our energy to make decisions in life just is our way of responding to God and God's call? I think that's what the poet Wendell Berry had in mind when he said, and this is a bit of a brain twister, quote, all choosing is a being chosen. All choosing is a being chosen. Our unfolding lives may feel like it was all choosing on our part. But sometimes when we look back, we can see things in a new light. Sometimes when we look back, we can see that even our choosing wasn't the first move, but rather a response to a deep sense of what God is calling us to be and to do. When we read about God's call to the prophet Jeremiah, the first thing we should notice is that God is the one who gets the story going. God takes the initiative. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you, says God to Jeremiah. God called Jeremiah even before Jeremiah was born, and God calls us even before we're born. That isn't a claim about how all the details of your life are determined ahead of time, as if you're nothing but a passive pawn floating along. As if you have no agency and no responsibility for the way your life unfolds. No, the point is that our lives are deeply shaped by our experience of being called by God to a meaningful and faithful life. And the God who calls us is the God who knows us intimately, even before our own parents knew us. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Those words are not just for Jeremiah the prophet. They are words for all of God's people. In fact, they're taken up by the psalmist in Psalm 139. They are words that become meaningful even for us. Often we get overwhelmed by our own smallness, by the insignificance of who we are and what we do, what we're capable of. We wonder whether there's any point in even trying to live a good life that matters. We wonder whether we're being of any real use to our neighbors and our community. We wonder whether all the effort it takes to live a good life is worth it. And this word from God, "Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you," those words can strengthen our resolve today. It reminds us that God is like a loving parent or like a wise friend who elevates the significance of our lives by calling us to share in important work. Now think of your own life. Look back for a minute. Think of your own life as an unfolding story. And I want to ask you, has it really been a random and unguided bounce through life, zigzagging here and there, propelled only by a set of external circumstances and by whatever choices you happen to make? Does that seem like the right way to tell your story? The truth is, if we live our lives with no sense of being called, no sense that God has invited us into important projects and tasks, it will be difficult for us to sustain our energy for the long term and to stay resilient and to deal with change, like Eileen was mentioning this morning. Now, God called Jeremiah to a lifelong project of preaching a very difficult message to Judah and to Jerusalem. Jeremiah was to announce to the rest of Judah, its kings, its priests, its people, that God would punish them for their unfaithfulness by allowing them to be conquered by another empire, by the Babylonians, would allow them to be taken captive by the Babylonians to live as exiles far from home. That was the content of Jeremiah's preaching. Needless to say, this angered his hearers. They didn't like listening to Jeremiah's preaching. And so for his entire 40 or 50 years of work, he was ridiculed, his life was threatened, and eventually he was imprisoned. Now, if you and I take Jeremiah's specific call as our model, we learn, I suppose, that God may, in fact, call us to do something difficult that may last a whole lifetime. We also learn that God might call us to do things that are hard and that require faithfulness and obedience rather than success or popularity with others. But I hope we can stay open to the great variety of ways in which God might call us. While God may, in fact, call us to do difficult work that lasts a lifetime, God is also free to call us to projects of much shorter duration, as well as to tasks that are as pleasurable for us as they are difficult. There's no reason for us to dread being called by God, as if God's call on our lives will always be a lifetime prison sentence to something that you find terribly hard or terribly onerous or terribly boring. Just as often, God's call will come to us as an invitation to use our own strengths, our own capabilities in a way that contributes to something larger than our own lives. And this work to which God calls all of us, it will likely be both hard and joyful at the same time. Now let's at least be honest this morning and admit that we are fairly decent at making excuses when God calls us. When God called Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, "Lord, of course, I'd love to do this, but I just can't." Have you ever said something like that? Jeremiah's objection had to do with his age. He was a young boy and his lack of experience. The message that God wanted him to deliver was difficult, and he would need to preach this message to powerful people who were much older than he was and had more power than he had. In almost all of the stories of someone being called by God that we find in Scripture, the person who's called feels inadequate to the task. So just like Jeremiah in today's story, so too with Moses, with Isaiah, and with a number of other people. They respond to God's call by explaining why they can't possibly do what they've been called to do. Of course, on one level, they were just being honest about their abilities. Moses didn't speak well, for example. Jeremiah was too young, that's true. Isaiah was unworthy for the work to which he was called. And yet this confession of inadequacy can become a confession of something much more beautiful, a confession of our reliance on God. Only the God who calls us can equip us and strengthen us for the work we've been called to do. Thomas Stiegel, biblical scholar, puts it this way, quote, God equips the called. God doesn't call the equipped. In other words, God will always give you the courage and the ability to do what you've been called to do. But here's the trick. You'll probably need to walk forward into that calling before you ever get to realize that you have everything you need. Common sense may well caution us against saying yes when God calls us. Even your family and friends may try to talk you out of doing what God has called you to do. And yet the God who calls is well aware of how challenging it can be, is well aware of our own weaknesses and inadequacies. In these situations, we have to learn to just move into it, walk forward into what God gives us to do, not always knowing at the time what it's about or why we were the ones called, in fact, to do this particular work. Why not that person or that person is one of the great excuses we often make. For Jeremiah, God communicates directly. Somehow, God just immediately speaks and commissions Jeremiah to his task. Now, it's highly unlikely that God will deal with us in such a direct way. More often, we will experience God's call in a more indirect way. It will come to us through conversation with others, through a prayer or song or scripture read during a worship service, through a nudge or an intuition that comes to us in the middle of life when we're doing something very ordinary. And so we have to make ourselves open and available to God, for God to call us in all these different ways. I'm quite sure that I have missed many opportunities to serve God and to serve other people simply by not listening when I'm called. And by not listening, I missed an opportunity to grow, to enlarge my life by compassion and service, to stretch myself, to learn to take risks, and to learn to rely on God for what I need. Jeremiah's call was a geographically large one. He was called beyond his village of Anathoth to a prophetic ministry of speaking to a nation, actually, to people of a wide geographic area. Now, some of us might be called to projects that are wide-ranging and of public significance, but most of us are called to be faithful in our own places. And like Jeremiah, God's call will take us into challenging and uncomfortable situations, contexts that are unfamiliar and that require us to rely on God's promises to be with us and to give us what we need. The different things that God might call us to are as different as we are all different as human beings. The things God may call us to will also change across the course of our lives as we develop and grow and mature. God can call us to large things, and God can call us to small things. But God's call, God's gracious invitation, God's powerful summons is a constant feature of our lives from birth to death. And so we might as well just get used to imagining our lives in this way as a series of responses to God's call. There's the call, of course, to faith and to trust in Jesus Christ, the one crucified, risen, and now with us in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's one kind of calling. There's the call to a life of active worship and service alongside others within the ministry of the church. That's another kind of calling. There's the call to a habit of prayer, which is nothing more than the practice of keeping ourselves open, flexible, and attentive to what's going on around us and in us, and attentive to the needs of others. There's the call to use our gifts and our strengths for the benefit of other people. There's the call to live simply and to share generously. Those are all different expressions of God's call, and they come to us and they keep coming to us over the course of our whole lives. But there are other ways that God will call us to specific projects or specific tasks or ministries. There are calls to submit ourselves to a kind of training or practice so that we can become skilled in some particular way that will benefit the community. There are calls to renewal and growth that happen sometimes and not others. So in the church's tradition, the period of Lent before Easter is often a time when God will call us to deepen our baptisms, to submit to some form of discipline so that we can grow. There are calls to leadership and service we might experience when we're asked to serve or to participate in some ministry. There are calls to family life and parenting. There are calls to friendship and calls to travel and adventure. I have seen some of you who are called to care for your parents when they're dying. I've seen some of you called to care for spouses and friends who are sick. I've seen some of you called to be allies with somebody who's lonely or depressed or poor. I've seen some of you called to serve on various leadership committees or on the boards of service organizations. Some of you have been called to a craft or a skill of some kind, called both to practice it well, in addition to offering your talents to make something beautiful or useful for other people. Some of you have been called to lead or to teach. Some of you have been called to a life of prayer. Some of you have been called to walk away from dysfunctional families and forge your own healthier path. Some of you have been called to serve as foster parents. And on we could go with the different ways that God has called each of us. But all of us have been called by God to a life that's meaningful. All of us have been called to a life in which we're using our strengths to serve other people. And all of us are in the process of responding to God with a joyful yes when we hear that call. Your whole life has been a response to the different ways that God has called you to serve. It may well be that now and then you, like me, have missed an opportunity to respond. Perhaps God called you to a task or a project or a challenge, and you sensed the call, you felt it, and yet you wound up saying no instead of yes. You closed down instead of opening your heart. But far more often, God has called you, and you have responded with a yes to that call. Now and then, we have this sense of being pulled or nudged or spoken to. We experience ourselves in the grip of something larger, something loving, something beautiful. We feel ourselves under the influence, in the grip of something, yielding to a persuasion. We find ourselves committing to a task or a ministry or a way of serving other people. Those are all some of the different experiences of what it might be like, feel like, when God calls you. And so when your next call comes, friends, say yes. When your next call comes, gather up your questions and your fears, your excuses and your inadequacies, and say yes anyway. Walk forward into the new life to which God calls you. God will give you everything you need for your work.